These candles are beautiful. I'm staring at them like I do my fireplace. I just want to keep singing that song. I know you guys are tired of playing, but I could use a defender. Anybody agree with that? Anybody needed a defender this week? Anyone need one for the next week? Black Friday, anybody need a defender? I go before you go. Those are powerful words. That means you don't even need to leave anywhere. You don't even need to get out of your pew. Yes, you do. But with confidence. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6 in a minute or two. I don't know if I'll preach all this. This is the Sermon on the Mount. But I know it's a start. It's a very good place to start. Where have I heard that? Very good place to start. Sound of Music, isn't it? I don't know how I got off on that. It is a very good place to start. It's a great place. It's a beautiful day. And we're going to look at this as profound, very powerful words from our Savior. That's the great defender. That's who you're singing about. That's who you're here to worship. Actually, that's who you're here to hear from. All of it. Amen? I was thinking that a lot of times if we play the game, and even if we play the game well, okay, I'm a coach, so I'm talking about life here, but as a game, you play it well, we win at things that are not true to ourselves. A lot of times we win at things that are not true to our own values. And then eventually we will get good at winning, but what are we winning at, ultimately? What do we have really as an award for that? What have we won? So in order to try to avoid all this empty sense of chasing after these little victories, you've seen your sermon title, these victories that are not meaningful, we're going to get into God's definition of success. It just brought relief. God's idea of what is worth winning at. And we're looking at it together. It's so cool to me. I was in the airport last weekend, this time last week, and I was speaking by phone to one of our new church members. Not here today, but been coming. They're with holiday friends today. It was a great conversation, and he said, I'm really just dealing with emptiness, and an emptiness that I realize is a lot of times because my values are shallow. My soul is dry, and I've let it get that way. So I've been listening and thinking about my values and what I think they should be, and not what I want them to be, but what are my values, and then aligning those values with God's values, and then literally giving everything and everyone to God. Benevolent detachment. Completely letting everything go. It was a great call. Let's pray right here before we read. Father, that's what we seek this morning. This service has already been set up for worship. Your presence is here. Amen, congregation. His presence is here. It's soothing. It's soothing. The great defender is sitting right here with you. Hallelujah. So much better your way. May your scripture come alive today. May it go in places that I had no clue when I started this where it would end up, simply because it's about you, it's from you. And it's going to be steered by you into those unknowns. And your Holy Spirit is the one that's active. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We hand this to you entirely. We thank you for those that made it here this morning. This is so great. And for those that we miss traveling with family and friends, man, God, we can't wait for them to come back. But give them the rest for their souls that they need. No doubt about it. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mary Lou, thank you. You're hired for the rest of the day, actually. I would love that. We need a Mary Lou soundtrack. I'm thinking lunch, dinner. Ron, you got it made, bro. You got it made. This is a beautiful morning, and I love that piano. Can't get enough. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Very relevant scripture today, but I want you to look at it together with me. Today, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? I know you've heard this. Some of you guys aren't even looking at the screen. You're like, I know this verse by heart. And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. The birds of the air, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, I love that. And yet, somebody say, and yet. Yeah. I don't deserve the grace of God. And yet, I don't have the educational background or I don't feel qualified. And yet, nobody in my family ever broke this barrier. And yet, I've made mistakes in my life. And yet, and I just love the little stuff like that in the Bible. You all handle the scripture the way you want. I'm going to start pulling these little things out for you, okay? That's where this service goes. There's little goodies in there. There's nuggets that are powerful. And yet, your Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Tell somebody sitting next to you, I'm better than a bird. Say it, yeah. I'm better than a bird. I might not be better than you, but I'm better than a bird. But I'm worth more than a bird. Are you not much more valuable than they? We're going to go back to that. Can any of you worry by adding a single hour to your life? No, but you can take some off. No doubt about it. Or you can wish you were dead because it's more peaceful than being in this living hell, being in your mind sometimes. It gets out of control, doesn't it? It does. So he asked a good question, and Noah, look right here how it starts with a command, but then it turns to a question. Notice he said, do not worry. Then he said, why do you worry? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his Gucci was dressed like one of these. Is that how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow, thrown in the fire? Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry. Stop telling me that. Don't you get annoyed when you are listening? There's somebody constantly surrounding you. The worst thing you can tell somebody when they're worrying is what? Yeah. It drives them nuts, and you see their reaction, and drives you nuts, unless you know something they don't. Because I remember this summer I was watching the World Cup with great intention. The USA looked really good. The women's team was on it. And I couldn't see all of them, so we rented Hulu for 1 month, which was kind of a graduation gift for my daughter, slash I really wanted to see it too. And we there was this game, and we didn't get to see it, so it was recorded. But my daughter went on her phone and already saw the score and told her not to say anything. So we were at home. We were watching this. And when I was getting a little nervous, I was getting a little scared. It was getting close. I'd just look at her, and she wasn't freaking out, so I didn't freak out. And when somebody was about to score, I just looked at her, and she wasn't freaking out, so I didn't freak out. So when Jesus says, don't worry, I figure if he's already seen how this thing turns out, come on. You guys with me? Okay. It's early to have church this morning, but I need you all to wake up this morning. If you are grateful that the one who knows the end from the beginning is already prophesied to this current moment and declared that God is faithful, regardless of your election results, come on, give him a shout of praise this morning. It's Jesus. That's who you're looking at. Just look at him. He knows what's going on. You can get back into what you're doing. He knows what's going on. If he's not worrying, you don't have to worry. Don't worry. Saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. These are shallow values. This is what the world worries about. You want to worry about something, worry about teen suicide. All right? You want to worry about something, hey, worry about, you know, racism. You want to worry about something? Worry about that. You want to worry about something? Worry about this crazy cycle of fear and hatred that we're all walking through right now. You want to worry about something? Worry about that, okay? But don't worry about this, for the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble enough of its own. Right? Right? It does. The word that God gave me to give to you today is this. Look up and look out. Okay? Look up, look out. In other words, reverse your worry. Because you usually aren't looking up. You're usually tripping up on something where your minds are. We're going to get this thing turned around before lunchtime today. Reverse your worry. Look up, look out. We came in thinking one way. My prayer is that you're going to go home thinking another way and reversing this. Turn to somebody and say, turn it around. Turn it around. Look at them. Look at somebody else. Turn it around. So why do you worry? Why do you worry? That's the question. The command is, do not worry. Well, where do you want me to start? Because I got a list. I got a list, my friends. Let's see it again, okay? The verse. And at this point, if it was anybody other than Jesus asking this question, I would say, sit down and let me tell you, okay? I have a list. And if you want to know why I worry, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on with our athletes. There's stuff going on in our schools. There's stuff going on social media. I've just heard that statistics show that 93% of our entire lives is consumed with technology. Somebody told me that last weekend, and I'm going, 93% of our lives. That's 93% of my life. I'm worried about what folks access online. How much social media is controlling lives? Because there's no Bible verse necessarily out there telling me how much time my kid or kids need to have on Instagram. If you found that, please let me know, okay? You're trying to figure this out. I'm worried. Why do you worry? Look at the verse. Why do you worry? I think it's important that we stop and think about the reasons that we worry, okay? The reason that we worry, and to be really honest about it, because what I worry about is more than anything, not what's happening to me, okay, but whether or not what's within me is enough to handle. Whether or not what's happening to me doesn't affect me, but what's happening, what's inside me is enough to handle what's happening to me. Get it? That's where I'm sitting. I'm just being flat honest with you. Do I have inside me what's needed to go after what's hitting me? It's whether within me is strong enough to handle what happens to me. That's why I worry. You have great sermon notes this morning, Katie. Thank you for doing that. Take a look at those. I'm worried because as a pastor, I'm concerned that maybe the way that I communicate would be for more consumption, and the people would come here and hear the word or tune in even online, and they record these things, which is cool, but people would listen to it and just click off. Good sermon, Hobbs. Just click out. It seems like more and more people are coming to church for what to get out of it because they like what's happening or they like the preaching or they like that song. But that's a really shallow reason to be here. Amen? That's it. And I worry that if people come from surface motivations. They're going to get surface results in their life. And if people come with selfish motives, they're going to get empty results. So why do you worry? Why do you worry? Let's talk about it. It's just me and you now. Okay? Why do you worry? It's just us. That list is getting bigger, isn't it? The longer I stay silent. What's the thing that had you up at 3:30 this morning in your mind when it starts spinning? Round and round it goes. Some of us get up to use the bathroom, and it never gets back to that rested state because our bladders and our brains are both under demon possession. They're so full. And we wake up in the middle of the night, and here we are, and this is how it happens to me. My mind just starts spinning. I hate it when both eyes open up, because now all of a sudden I've got something I'm thinking about. I'd rather just have that one eye deal going on. The way that it's constructed in the original language, and I look at this, and this is a beautiful scripture right here. Study this passage, and you look at it, it says that take no thought. That's literal. Saying a thought that presents itself to you can start you spinning in a direction if you take it. But it can't start you spinning, okay? It can't start you spinning if you don't take it. If you let it go, right? You hold on to that thought, you're out of here. And there you go. Hold that thought, you get a hold of a thought, and it takes you somewhere. And eventually you're going to find that it takes you somewhere. And a lot of times I end up in the spin cycle. Oh, all day long. You know what I'm talking about? Talk to me. You guys understand, right? Yeah, it's crazy. Spin cycles of stress. And I've noticed this. Worry. Worry is circular. Worry is going round and round and round and round. It's not being concerned about something. That's not what Jesus meant by don't worry, okay? This isn't a Jesus Bob Marley moment. This is not what he's saying when he says, because I looked at this and he's like, look at the birds. Just look at the birds. Oh, look at the flowers. Isn't God good? Isn't he the best? Isn't Jesus the best in all of his muchness? Just the best, okay? This isn't a Bob Marley thing. Do you want us to be like birds? No, Jesus said, I want you to observe the birds. I want you to see what it says. And maybe what they know that you don't is because they live where you don't. And that's at a higher altitude. Observe the birds. This message is called look up, because in order to consider the birds, you've got to stop looking all around you at the things that are freaking you out. To make sense of your life, you know? Okay? Because as long as you look around, long as you keep checking that text message and that social media thing, as long as you keep going round and round and round and round, you're not going to break this cycle. And consider there is a God above you who has gone before you, who lives within you, who is always for you, and that you are spoken for, come on people, and known and named and called and chosen and set apart. That's where our brains need to go, a different level. Can I preach a little bit? You guys okay? Because I've been doing this a lot, and this is where this thing keeps going round and round. In fact, I'm still talking about the same subject that I was talking about this summer. Back in the end of June, going into July 4th weekend, there was just this anxiety in this congregation, round and round. Oh, some of you watching me do this, you know, you're enjoying watching the pastor get dizzy up here. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. I'm right back here. Here's the problem. When I get worried and I'm going round and round and round, guess where I end up? Right where I started. Same place. That's what it's like to toss and to turn over junk that you can't control. You end up right back where you were, right where you started. After you spend all night long, and you've let your head go round and round and round, your eyes are all puffy, you're dead tired now. And you know what? It starts with the most innocent thought. The devil has been at this a long time, my friends. He's not going to give you a bad thought. He's going to give you an innocent thought and try to get you to take it in the wrong direction. Amen? They're innocent thoughts. In fact, they start out very simple. You start talking to yourself. You start adding something to the simple thought. I've got something special for you guys we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. It's really cool to help you with that. But that's what we do. We take a simple thought, and it's in a wrong direction. A scenario on the surface that actually doesn't seem that bad. It's actually not that bad, but it's the way you spin it. It's like Fox News and CNN, one story they're telling, one story, but you can spin it different ways, and it's how you spin it that determines how you see it. Amen? That's what it is. I'm preaching Matthew 6 right now like it's my last day to live, because when you get in that spin cycle, okay, and just go round and round and round and round, and you feel like you're in this whitewater thing, it's going crazy and it doesn't make any difference. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not working on it. I'm not making progress. And the devil gets me so dizzy that by the time that I'm facing my real life challenges, I don't have the equilibrium. I don't have any energy to apply in that direction that would create a result, because I'm so dizzy and actually I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I have that midnight madness look in my eyes. I can't find balance. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what to do. Okay? Hang on, I'm still going around. By the way, that's why it takes you a few minutes when you get to church to get your heart in the right place, okay? Until the caffeine kicks in. That's why we have music. That's why there is a pianist. It helps you. It helps me. That's why we do that. Jesus said, look at the birds, and then look at the flowers. Flowers? You want me to look up? Or you want me to look down? Look, flowers. Yeah. Both. Notice something, that the flowers don't do what your mind has been doing lately. He said, you look at the flowers. Notice they do not labor. And give me the verse again, verse 28. Okay? They do not labor or what? Yeah. And yet, your Father... They don't spin. They don't sow. The birds don't store away. The flowers don't spin. And yet, look how God does that on that level. And if He made you in His image, what makes you think you have to spin out in cycles? You're made in the image of God. Tormenting cycles. You know these cycles. My kid needs braces. Oh my gosh. One of those teeth are out a little bit. Oh no. We got to do, this is going to cost me $473,000. And he's two, by the way. And all of the, oh no, we're in so much trouble. I'm going to be able to spend money on them. I'm not even going to be able to afford college for them. And it's crazy. They're going to have to resort to gang violence. And my child's going to wind up in prison. I'm going to have to visit. Now you're in prison. Your kid's only two. So you've been going round and round and round in cycles. But God said, today is your day. Stop spinning today. Going into Thanksgiving weekend, that's my message. Let it go. Came to preach to you. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Your Father knows what you need. Stop spinning. Stop worrying about what God is already working on and just worship Him. Somebody take 8 seconds right now and just praise Him right now. Just do it. Let Him have it. Just look at Him. Just say, thank you, God, and let it go. Thank you. You are in charge of this. I'm giving you this. Amen to that. I know you can't do it all the time. I know you can't do it all the time, but you're in the right place today. This is the place to let it go. Get rid of the religious fog and just know Jesus is here. And I'm letting this one fly. It's gone. His name is great. Amen? Yeah. That's all worship is, you know? By the way, it's the reverse of worry. It's all worship is. See, when I start with my situation, and I spin round and round and round, okay? When I start my situation, I end with my situation instead of starting with meditation, okay? A source. You know who the Father is? When you know who your Father is, it sends you spinning in a different direction, okay? Instead of this way, now you know who your Father is. That's the deal. When you start with God, you end with God. When you start with your Father, your good Father, you end with your good Father. Look at somebody next to you and say, stop spinning. Just let them know. Get two other people, because your spouse is tired of hearing you talk right now. Wake somebody up. Stop spinning. That's what the Israelites did for 43 years. Catch that? Can you imagine Avalon being stuck in this religious fog? It could have been this way. 43 years the Israelites wandered in religious fog. I don't want to be in that crowd. Why are you worried? I would understand it if it was working. Think about the day we live in, where you're constantly being hit with breaking news. Breaking news. Trump had lunch. Breaking news. Breaking news. So it's almost impossible for us to have priorities because we're fed with so much fear. It's out of control. When your Father feeds you, it builds your faith. You start with who God is. You start with your source. And guess what? You end up where you started. He's your source. You start with God, you end with God. You start with fear, you end with fear. You start with shortage, you end up storage. If you start your situation, you'd be like Elisha's servant. This is really cool. And this one just hit me 3 days ago when I was looking at this verse, 2 Kings verse 6. This is a great Old Testament story to illustrate what I'm talking about, because the servant woke up one day. Servant woke up one day and found that the camp was surrounded with the Armenians, who were the enemies. And he woke up Elijah, woke him up, and he goes, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" That's exactly what the Bible says. Have you ever woken up just like that? "Oh, my Lord, what should we do?" That's exactly what you've been saying. I'm surrounded, and now this preacher's talking about birds and lilies and chrysanthemums, and here I am trying to pay my bills, and my mom has Alzheimer's, and this dude's up here talking about birds. Well, Elijah could have prayed this, that God would destroy the enemies surrounding him, the Armenians in the camp. Guess what? He didn't. He prayed something more powerful. And what he says is what I'm praying for us in this game changer message today. This is the game changer. Not that God takes your enemies away, but he enables you to see beyond them. Not that he takes your problems away, but he enables your faith to see beyond them. When you're working with difficult situations in your family, you've got tough kids, or maybe you're with our school system, or maybe in your job, you've got people underneath you in your kingdom, the things that you have authority over, and it's difficult, look beyond their problems. Look beyond what the surface behavior looks like. There's something bigger that's there. And the second circle is the deal. There's nothing I can do necessarily about this first circle. This stuff that's encumbering, it's not good. On the surface, it's looking dangerous. There's enemies here. That's the first circle. On the surface, this is the truth. But God wants us to go past that first circle to the second circle, where the servant opened his eyes and he saw what we actually had seen all along. The servant opened his eyes. There was a host of angel armies surrounding the first circle, and what was on the outside was greater than what was on the inside. Anybody here this morning? Is there anybody awake this morning? Don't look at me right now. Just blink twice. Do something. Wake up, okay? There you go. Whatever was surrounding you, God is already surrounding it. And so much of our peace is dependent on it. whether we can perceive the second circle. When you live in the first circle, it's always never enough. If you start with not enough, you'll end with not enough. If you start with El Shaddai, which is more than enough, you'll end up with more than enough. So reverse your worry. My Father knows what I need. He knows what you need. I have needs, but you don't start with those. Because if you start with a need, you're going to end with what? A need. That's right. But if I start with God who knows what I need, and I end with a God who knows what I need, He is Alpha. He is Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So reverse your worry. Look up, look out. Jesus says, you're more valuable than birds and flowers. You're way more valuable, yet your Father cares for the lesser. Will He not much more take care of you? It means this. If God is doing this right here on this level of detail, don't you think He's already determined your expected end? If He can do this, that, surely He can do this. And if He did that, He can do this. There are some things in my life that God did, and guess what? Man, He saved my soul. If He did that, He can do this. If He changed my marriage, if He changed my life, if He's done something like that, I might have forgotten about that. And I'm not going to, because He did that. Don't you think He could handle this? Whatever it is. This is the second circle. This is where we've got to live. But in order to do it, you got to reverse it. Because if you start with shortage, you end with what? Shortage. Time. Energy. Money. Any of it. Jesus says, here's the game changer, okay? One of the most famous verses of Scripture, by the way, but now that you've got it in context, I hope that it comes alive for you in a new way. He said, if God cares for the lesser, He'll take care of the greater. If He takes care of the little, He'll take care of the lot. You're the lot. How's that make you feel? You're not the lesser, you're the lot. God loves you. More than the birds and flowers. You're more valuable to Him. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, not your own, not your own ideas, not your own appearances. Glad we got uniforms in the school now. Oh, I'm not glad we got uniforms in the school. It's not about appearances. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we eat? What do we drink? Isn't it funny? We're still posting 2,000 years later about the same stuff Jesus said not to worry about in Palestine. We ate and what we wore. Still doing that. 2,000 years later. It's so circular, okay? So circular, you know? Like we're still worried about the same things. How am I going to make it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Man, my taxes, tax season bracket, oh, they're up in my lease. That's where I'm at. In a bracket, just all this stuff. That's survival. What do we eat? What do we wear? That's survival, okay? That's status. And then you go over the circles over and over again. But if you start with a kingdom thought, God will give me the things. See that? If you don't start with things, but you start with kingdom. Y'all nod at me if you get this morning. Okay, three of us. Great. Awesome. If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be given to you. What do we eat? What do we wear? How am I going to pay my lease? Is my wife ever going to forgive me? Is my kid ever going to speak to me again? Is my teacher ever going to, you know what? Doesn't matter. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be given to you. You see, you protect what you prize. Your peace ought to be important to you. The only way to live in God's peace is to have God's priorities. Amen? Now, in my life, every time that I've had a lack of peace is because something was screwed up with my priorities. And the reason I can prove that now is because I wasn't in a bad situation. It wasn't the presence of problems going on in my life that created the absence of peace. Sometimes in the midst of the greatest problems, I have the greatest peace. That makes no sense. I understand, but it's true. Nonetheless, I've experienced things even in the last month. It's been very hard for me to even breathe. But what I went through last weekend, something that was called soul care, so to speak, giving it the best definition I can, I had tremendous peace. I'm still walking in that. Tremendous peace. If my priorities, if I don't seek first the kingdom, and I'm seeking the things, I will run after all the same things that the pagans run after. It'll be like I don't even have a God in my real life. It's like this, okay? Can I borrow somebody's phone? Anybody have a phone I can borrow? Got a new phone? Thanks, Matt. Wow. Okay. Is this new? Okay. Thank you for this. Is this an iPhone? This is nice. Okay. This thing's huge. Now, if you left this at church and you went home, would you come back and get it? Okay, cool. If you left this at Two Harbors by accident, like in the restaurant there or whatever, would you go back and get it? For real? You have them mail it to you? Nice. All right. But would you drive an hour to get this if you had to and they couldn't mail it? Okay. What if you left it on the mainland?
Call insurance.
All right. It's amazing how much information is stored on that phone. It's amazing how much important stuff is on that phone. Nod your heads. You've left the house without your phone. You've driven all the way back to get your phone. You just can't go that afternoon or that day, right? You're expecting the call or that email or that text, or you got one of these on your arm, and that won't work without that and all this stuff's going on. You know what I'm saying, right? It's important, but I noticed that people will leave their peace just anywhere. We would run back. I look at some of y'all while I'm talking and I'm preaching. Can't even sit 40 minutes without reaching for your phone. You're breaking out in rashes and coming up, oh, checking, it's buzzing, it's binging, everything's going on in my pocket, and I got to know what's going on. But you leave your peace just anywhere. Leave your peace just anywhere. We put more importance on a possession that we'll go back and get it. I lost my phone. I can't find my phone. Like you're not wearing pants when you leave the house or something. It's out of control. But you won't apologize to get your peace back, to seek the kingdom. Somebody say, I want my peace back. And friends and family, that's why I teach tithing. Okay? That's why I teach tithing. And it got extremely quiet in here. Because when I put God first, and I prioritize His purposes for my life, don't you see that in any area of my life, when I start with God, I end with who? In any area of my life, including tithing, including any area. Look, it's not some Old Testament principle. It's a principle when you trust God, you invest your treasure in the one that you trust. So when I say, God, this portion is set aside for you, guess what? I start my resources spinning in the direction of God's kingdom. Amen? It's going in His direction. Then I can trust Him to take care of my needs. If I start with my needs, I don't have that right now. I didn't get paid this month, or this didn't happen to me the way that it. You come up with all those needs, all those things. You're not seeking first His kingdom. That's why we have an offering. It's about trust. It's about training my heart to trust God. Aren't you sick of spinning? Just like the world spins. Aren't you sick of that? I know I am. I think the distinguishing mark of the people of God that are in this room, that the day we live in is this supernatural peace that will become so attractive to people in the world we won't even have to preach to them. There's just something about you. They're going to see your peace. They're going to want us to meet the author and the giver of what it is that you got. Yeah. You're the Bible that they read. You've heard that before, right? You're the message. You're walking in it. You're the giver of something very good. And they're going to meet the giver of peace, whose name is Jesus. Amen? So this is the season I've started to ask God to help me spin it in the right direction. This morning, I laid some of these things out at the table. And most of y'all probably walked right past them because you're like, oh, great, another credit card. Whatever, okay? Anybody grab one of these on your way in? Oh, wow, cool, okay. I got a whole stack of them last weekend, and I've already got this app running on my phone, and here's the deal. This is called the 1 Minute Pause app, and you can set it for whatever time you want. It allows you to set it. This is sweet. They just opened this less than 2 weeks ago, and I got this at this really cool conference that I went to. Ransom Heart puts this out. I set my alarm for 10 and 2. And it's not a loud alarm. It's actually a soft thing that goes off in your pocket, and it just, it's benevolent detachment. What it's saying is this: I want you to give everything and everyone to God for union with Him. I don't know about you, but the first thing I thought is, I'm not going to have that much to give Him at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll just do the 2, right? And then I got home. And then my text came in and my emails came in and all that came in, right? 10 o'clock, I'm loaded. I need to unload that. And then I got another load at 10:01. So I needed the 2 o'clock as well. If you don't have a smartphone, you can just set an alarm on the phone you have. It's very simple. Once this is uploaded, you can just give it to somebody. There's a 1 minute, there's a 3 minute, there's a 5 minute, and if you got that kind of time and you're actually going to want it, there's a 10 minute. Union with God. Does that sound good to anybody this morning? Right? It's free. There is nothing to it. No catches, no nothing. This is meant to give away, and you can even read the words in the back. Release, union with God. I love it. I want to start spinning, but in the right direction, and learn what the flower learned if I stay planted, right? Learn what the bird learned. If I stay above it, my God will supply all my needs. Anybody here with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you would. Your God will supply all your needs. I've got the crew in the back that are going to play something for you. Some of you might have seen this, but you've forgotten it. I promise you. But I'm about to remind you, and if you can't see one of the screens, especially the big one, you need to move somewhere where you can watch this for 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Standing up, I want you to see something here. And here's the deal. If you've forgotten who this God is that I've asked for you to take 1 minute, 1 minute to pause and hand Him all those things and all those people that are driving you nuts that you want union with Him over and have time with Him over, I'm about to remind you what this looks like. Guys, if you turn these lights out for me, that'd be great. Enjoy this. With sound. A lot more sound. Thank you. you've forgotten who this God is that I've been talking about, maybe you've been a little detached, spinning, I want to ask you today to stop and remember He's got your back. If you pray with me right now, I want to ask you today that if you've been spinning around trying to solve things in your own strength, and you want to still your heart in the presence of God, one thing I love to do is lift my hands to the Father in heaven. Would you do that right now? Just close your eyes. Oh, you of little faith. When you have a Father who knows how to feed you, and you don't have to run to the world for scraps, you have a Father who knows what you need, and you can trust your deepest desires are being met in each moment, greater than the breath that we breathe, greater than the songs that we sing. The grace of God is in this moment. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this ministry. It's gone forward today. And I would ask that you now enable it to become active in our lives. Not only would we be hearers of the word, but doers also. The God of creation is the one I'm speaking to. That this week you would show us how to reverse our worry. Instead of starting with what's wrong and what's missing and what's not and what's gone, we start with who you are. Thanksgiving is in the house. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As you worship here today, as you have been worshiping here today, and as you know who you're spoken to today, you leave here today, and you look at that app or anything you need to do to bring you into His presence, whether it's 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way through. I can't get enough of you, God. I cannot get enough of you. My soul is dry and it's thirsty for the God, the kingdom that you offer us. And I give that to you this morning. And I bind all foul spirits and all negativity and all demon work and all devil stuff that's been going on, that's been shouting at you and pounding at you. Congregation, in the name of Jesus, it's bound and it's gone. And I free your Holy Spirit to move. Come, Holy Spirit. Revive our souls. Thanksgiving means I have a Savior. And what you've done, you will do again. What you can do is where I stay. Not the things, but the kingdom. And we give it to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to leave that way this morning. We're going to leave that way. You all are dismissed. Have a great Sunday with your families, with people you need to make contact with, especially your Savior. Have a great Sunday.